Here at Ball State University, we have a very beautiful campus. And our Charles W. Brown Planetarium, that's one of our crown jewels. Every year, thousands of visitors enter through the planetarium's doors to gain a greater understanding of the mysteries of space, the wonders of our planet, and the magic of our night sky. I'm Jeff Mearns, the president of Ball State University, and this is Cardinal Compass, Campus and Community Conversations.
From the campus of Ball State University on Ball State PBS and Indiana Public Radio, this is Cardinal Compass, Campus and Community Conversations.
At Ball State University, our promise is simple: to empower the success of our students. Our students benefit from immersive learning, innovative academic programs, and state-of-the-art facilities. Ball State offers a distinctive yet affordable educational experience and the ideal environment to prepare for a fulfilling career and a meaningful life. We inspire Cardinals to transform their communities, to revolutionize their industries, and to make a difference. We fly. Are you ready to fly?
Hello and welcome to Cardinal Compass. I'm Alana Gaither.
And I'm Emma Matlock.
Nestled in the heart of Ball State's campus lies a portal to the stars, a place where science, education, and wonder collide. But what helps bring these immersive experiences to life?
Mira Bloomer has the story.
The Charles W. Brown Planetarium isn't just a theater, but a journey through space exploration. With its space technology and dedicated faculty, it offers an unforgettable experience for students and the Muncie community.
Almost everyone that I've met in Muncie knows about this place and has been here once before. And I want it to continue to be that way, be that significant thing that it is now.
For students like Wilhelmina Opferman, working as a planetarium assistant is more than just a job. It's a hands-on learning experience that allows them to explore their passion for space in a very unique way.
It's funny because we all like space a lot, and even though, like, I'm not a STEM major, we're all still very interested in science and, like, fostering that in little kids.
The planetarium, directed by Dana Thompson, serves as both an educational hub and a gateway to the wonders of the cosmos, whether it's through guiding school field trips or hosting public shows.
And it's really, really fun when you have younger people come in because they're so excited about space, and, like, half the time they've never been to a planetarium before unless they like live in Muncie. And so it just blows their mind that it's like, yeah, we can like look at the whole solar system right now.
As the biggest planetarium in Indiana, it continues to spark curiosity and inspire students all around Ball State's campus and community.
I wanted to make sure that I left this facility whenever I left having improved it in some way, bring something to the table.
Whether it's through the eyes of an astronomer or a curious student discovering a new passion, Charles W. Brown Planetarium continues to bring the stars and planets a little closer to home. In Muncie, Mira Bloomer, Cardinal Compass.
Joining us now is Dana Thompson, director of the Charles W. Brown Planetarium. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Now, Dana, what made you want to work for the planetarium?
Well, when I was young, I always was familiar with planetariums. I had a star lab that came to our school that you kind of crawled into, you got to see the sky. But when I came to Ball State as a graduate student in the master's program for physics and astronomy, I was really introduced to a new world of planetariums, a world where you went in and learned more than the constellations. Mm-hmm. You learned about the science behind them, what was there beyond the stars, these clusters of stars, or these clouds of gas and dust out there, these nebulae, black holes, and more. So maybe even distant worlds going around those stars. We call those exoplanets. And so that really introduced me to a new way of education inside of a planetarium. And when I was a graduate student, I was able to teach inside of the planetarium as a part of my grad assistantship. And that really inspired me to be more involved in informal education. So I was able to take what I was learning in my classes at Ball State and put them in front of elementary school students who were coming to the planetarium, and we were just having fun learning. And it was away from tests and all of that, and that was really exciting to me. It was this low stakes, non-threatening experience that I was able to share with them, getting away from the classroom. So the informal education aspect really excited me and brought me into the planetarium world. So when I graduated with my master's degree in physics, I was fortunate to come into a professional full-time position here at Ball State as assistant director at the time, and then now as director.
Mm-hmm. And you've been here for quite some time, so I just wonder, like, what is different from the old planetarium compared to the newer Brown Planetarium?
Yeah, when I first started, I was working in the older planetarium. Mm-hmm. It's about half the size of this newer facility that we have that's just reached its 10-year milestone. So we've had the new Brown Planetarium for 10 years now. But when I started out in this 30-foot planetarium, and it had just a star projector, which put up maybe 1,000 of the brightest stars that we make our constellations out of. And we had basically these slide projection technologies mm-hmm. that allowed us to put little pictures all across the planetarium dome. And it was great, and we were able to do a lot with it. But with the new planetarium, it's bigger, and we're able to welcome more people in. Our attendance doubled with it. And also, we have new state-of-the-art technology. Mm-hmm. So instead of just a new star projector, which can put up 4,000 of the brightest stars rather than just 1,000 of them, it also, by the way, fills in the Milky Way with 10 million points of light representing stars. And you can even take a pair of binoculars and see a lot of detail in it. It has this full dome technology. So full dome, meaning it has digital projectors that put up pictures and movies on the entire dome. So it's kind of like an IMAX theater in some ways.
Wow.
Yeah, so we're one of actually a dozen planetariums in the United States that has both of those projectors that are integrated mm-hmm. and they talk to one another. So if one moves, the other one follows it, and they go seamlessly from one to the other.
Mm-hmm.
So we have this digital projection that covers the whole sky, lets us travel to distant worlds, fly through Saturn's rings, mm-hmm. but then also land on Mars and more. And then the realistic night sky with the optomechanical projector that allows us to see the night sky in amazing detail. And that's really special.
That's great. Well, how have the shows changed?
Yeah, the shows have changed dramatically. So remember before, we were able to just put up things in these little small squares across the planetarium, but now we have this full dome capabilities, and there's planetarium programs that are built just for that structure. They're called fisheye projections, and we're able to purchase them, and we're able to create them ourselves, actually, and distribute them to other planetariums, actually. So we are able to cover many more topics than we were before, because everything that we did in the old planetarium, we had to do ourselves. Mm-hmm. But now we can purchase planetarium programs about lots of different things. We have a Sesame Street show for mm-hmm. our little ones, but then we also have ones that go and explore exoplanets in a really immersive way with this full dome technology.
And President Mearns, how have you noticed how the planetarium has changed?
Well, and what I have seen is the impact that it has not only in our students, but in the community. And it, as Dana said a moment ago, mm-hmm. the beautiful impact of it is fulfilling our mission both to the campus and the community. And mm-hmm. I think, Dana, you can correct me on some of these statistics, but I think just last year alone, we had 20,000 visitors to the planetarium
wow.
in just
yeah.
one year.
Last year was kind of exciting because we had over 27,000 people yeah. come because we had the excitement of the eclipse mm-hmm. and a lot of additional programming. Right.
And so the programming can be attractive to kindergartners and middle school children, as well as our students and the community members. And because of Charlie's gift, every one of those shows is free. They don't charge attendance for any of the shows.
Wow. Well, with the solar eclipse show, like, how was that?
Yeah, we did a lot of different programming around the eclipse because mm-hmm. there was a lot of excitement around it. So we actually started planning for the total solar eclipse that happened last April, mm-hmm. Years and years out. We had a partial
wow.
solar eclipse back in, 2014? And that's what we really used to get people excited for mm-hmm. last year's eclipse. And we purchased a planetarium program for that. But then we also did special programs as well.
Oh, that's nice.
Were you out on the
outside? Oh, I was.
Outside?
Oh, I was. It was such an amazing once-in-a-lifetime sight mm-hmm. to see.
Right. Mm-hmm. I remember hearing about this from Dana and thinking, okay, what's the big deal?
Yes.
And then it starts to, to cover the sun. And you're thinking, mm-hmm. oh, it's not a big deal. And then all of a sudden when it hits that total eclipse, it's just remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
And you are involved with some programming with NASA and down at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Yeah, that was really exciting. So we actually got contacted by NASA saying, hey, do you know anyone who can operate a telescope? And I said, hey, me. So I was really interested in helping them do this live stream because they were looking at getting telescope operators all across the nation. They actually were looking at getting a dozen of them. And we were the Indianapolis ones. And I never saw a total solar eclipse before. I never videotaped one or live streamed one before. So I wanted to have someone to come along with me. So I asked Dr. Millis, the department chair in physics and astronomy here, to come and help me. Because we actually have two telescopes that can look at the sun in different ways. And that was really exciting to not just offer one view of the sun, but two.
They picked the right people. I just want to say that.
Well, Dana, how can the planetarium make shows free for the public?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the planetarium exists because of the wonderful gift from Charlie Brown and his family and all the other donations that really helped the main project and the planetarium come to life originally. But then we have continued donations from our supporters. We have a donation box at the front of the planetarium, and I joke that typical donations into that box range from $1,000 to $10,000, but usually we only get like $40 max. But it's amazing help to our everything that we do, our shows, our activity stations that we have little hands-on activities, we have telescope observing sessions, everything we do. But then we also have grants that help offset our costs. So I write grants, and that helps fund our programs and our upgrades. But of course, we get amazing support from Ball State University and state funding as well.
Now, you guys do have one free one show that is not free, which is the annual Astronomy Slam. Why is that? Why is that the only one that is not free?
Yeah, all of our public programs are free except for the annual Astronomy Slam because it is a one night only event, and we want to make sure that the people who are coming out for it can get in. And so it's a low cost of $4 a ticket, and we want to make sure that the students who are presenting, because it's a special presentation, because our public shows are always presented with our full-time professional staff. So our full-time professional staff will present our public shows either live or do a pre-recorded show along with a live segment. But the Astronomy Slam is student-run, and there are students presenting and competing for the title of Astronomy Slam champion, basically. The audience chooses the winner, and those students, they have family that wants to come and enjoy it. And although we can kind of reserve seats, we want to make sure that everyone who wants to come and see and support those students is able to. So they'll work very hard to present to the public a bit of astronomy in the most engaging way possible. They have 10 minutes apiece. There's usually four presenters, and they compete for Astronomy Slam Champion. But there's other awards so that no one goes home, you know, not winning something. There's an award for best energy, most thought-provoking, and the most visually engaging presentation.
Okay. That's awesome. Thank you guys so much. Well, with over 20,000 visitors each year, the planetarium welcomes families, students, and community.
But one family's involvement throughout the years has made the planetarium their second home. Kamara Mund reports.
Some people are lucky enough to have a tourist attraction in their backyard. While many others travel from different areas of the world, Jessica Getzwicki and her son, Peter Getzwicki, enjoy having the Charles W. Brown Planetarium within walking distance from their home. The Getzwicki family has been visiting Ball State's planetarium before the new one was opened in 2014 and has seen all the shows since then. The Getzwickis like to travel to different cities to watch planetarium shows, but still find their way back home for a similar experience, free of cost. Jess homeschooled Peter and found it hard at times to explain constellations in space. The planetarium helped both of them understand the concept in an immersive way.
But with each planetarium show, they do such a great job of breaking down these hard scientific concepts into little nuggets. I can understand a little better each time.
After visiting the planetarium, Jess began to recommend the planetarium to people outside of Ball State. She also brought in groups of friends, children, and Ball State's Women's Club to introduce them to something so close to home. The family's attendance lifted off when Peter became intrigued by space and stars at a young age. Peter saw his first show just at 4 years old and fell in love with the night sky. Early on, Peter wanted to be an astronaut after visiting the planetarium, as he truly feels it takes him out of this world.
But it really makes you think, hey, I'm on Mars now. In fact, last show I was thinking, hang on, how are we gonna land this thing? It was really funny.
The guest wikis know what's most beneficial for them, learning at home with the experts on campus. The guest wikis still visit the planetarium from time to time and are looking forward to seeing what new shows might come in the future.
Thank you so much.
In Muncie, Kamara Munn, Cardinal Compass.
Joining us now is John Millis, Ball State's Department Chair of Physics and Astronomy. Thank you, John, for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
My first question is, how does a planetarium here on campus enhance your teaching experience?
It is an incredible resource. I couldn't even go into all the details of how we're able to utilize it to better serve our students and the community, but just having that as an option for our astronomy courses and courses in other departments such as geography and meteorology and even modern foreign languages presents an opportunity for students to get an immersive experience that it's difficult to replicate anywhere else, particularly in my area of astronomy and astrophysics. I can stand in front of students all day and talk to them about the concepts and maybe show them pictures or PowerPoints of the different topics that we're exploring. But being able to take the students into the planetarium and give them that immersive all-sky experience and focus in detail, in high resolution, in some of these phenomena out in the universe is just an experience you can't really get anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. Yes, of course. And what about, how does the facility impact the learning experience of our students on campus?
Great question. One of the most challenging things about science is oftentimes connecting sort of the theory of what you're learning to practice. And something like the planetarium helps bridge that gap, right? Mm-hmm. It helps really give visualization and context to the things we're talking about in class. Particularly something like astronomy, where you're talking about objects that are across the cosmos. It's not something you can go visit and interact with, right? But we can kind of bring those to the students in a virtual way inside the planetarium, and that really helps enhance that learning experience.
For sure. President Mearns, what do you feel about this topic?
Well, I think what John just touched on a moment ago is one of the things we're very proud of at Ball State is experiential learning opportunities for our students. It's not merely learning the content or hearing a lecture or engaging with one of our outstanding professors. It's actually having the opportunity to experience what it might be like, whether it's working in a lab, whether it's working on a program like this, or what, as John said, actually getting to see in a dynamic space what they're studying and trying to absorb. It, I mean, it's a wonderful teaching and learning facility.
It definitely is. I've been to the planetarium a couple times.
You didn't fall asleep. Those chairs
are
pretty
comfortable. No. They're too interesting to fall asleep.
Okay.
My next question is, how does having the planetarium help your personal studies?
It's a great question. I'll just speak personally from the initial perspective of just my passion for science and learning. I often teach an introductory astronomy course for non-science majors here at Ball State, and a lot of these students are coming in a little apprehensive about science, taking science at the college level. And you know, they're doing it to get that science requirement so they can graduate, but I see it as an opportunity to get them excited about science, to really demonstrate that science is for everybody. And as much as I try to do that standing in front of them in the classroom, being able to take them into the planetarium and get them excited and sort of provide that wow factor and really show them what our universe contains and actually get them excited for a class that maybe they were a little apprehensive about. And so just as my passion as an educator, that is one of the main ways I can leverage the planetarium. But also just in my research area, I study neutron stars and black holes, and these are also very abstract objects and very exotic and not the types of things that we interact with, you know, here on Earth. So being able to, even just for my own benefit, being able to visualize these objects in the planetarium just provides some additional context to the work that I'm doing. And helps kind of bridge that gap, even for me, of sort of the theory and all the mathematics that I'm working on paper and or in the computer, and sort of bring that to visualization inside the planetarium.
What about working with NASA, and tell us a little bit about your experience with that?
Yeah, Dana touched on this earlier, mm-hmm. but Dana had the opportunity to partner with NASA on the solar eclipse, and she was kind enough to extend the invitation for me to join her, and it was really a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Mm-hmm. I'd never seen a total solar eclipse before, so to not only be able to experience that at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway with tens of thousands of other people, but to also be able to run these telescopes for NASA and mm-hmm. bring that visualization to not just those in Indiana, mm-hmm. but literally to millions of people around the world. Our telescope feeds were broadcast in Times Square, for instance, in New York, during the totality. So being able to have that experience of just being there in the moment and being a part of history was just truly amazing.
And I bet it's a great feeling to tell that to your students, that you got to have that opportunity.
Oh yeah. Dana and I were given NASA badges because we had to go in and out, and I definitely have that hanging on my wall in my office now. So,
it doesn't give you a ticket to fly up into space.
No, unfortunately not, but still, it's sort of like, I got to partner with NASA. It was really great.
Yeah. One day.
Well, how has your perspective of Ball State's planetarium changed over time?
Well, to be honest, I had been to planetariums before, before coming to Ball State. And my experience in them had been pretty limited, basic shows, and Dana touched on that most planetariums, they might have a star ball or they might have some limited digital projection. And that was kind of my understanding going into my time here. And then being able to actually experience what our Charles W. Brown Planetarium can bring just opened up my eyes to really what planetariums can do and what they can be. And as Dana said, we are one of the few, only about a dozen in the United States, that has this level of capability. And it's a great resource for Ball State, for the city of Muncie, and really central Indiana, that it's difficult to find anywhere else.
And President Mearns, you kind of answered the same question earlier with Dana, but do you have any more insights after hearing Dr. Millis talk?
Well, what was really resonated with me is talking about how it has enhanced his own research, mm-hmm. which then, as we know, translates into the impact that he can have on the students that he mm-hmm. teaches. So it's a wonderful resource that has so many layers of benefits on campus and in the community.
That's awesome. What is something that the public should know about the planetarium that might not be common knowledge?
Well, we've touched on it already, but all of our public shows are free. Mm-hmm. And people that have been to planetariums before may expect that there is a charge, because most planetariums do charge
that
for their shows.
True, yes.
But we don't here. And so getting the word out that these shows are available mm-hmm. on the weekends, that they're free, will hopefully bring more people to the planetarium that maybe weren't coming because they expected that it to cost money.
And they do a very good job in the promotional materials, whether it's on the web or the written materials, of telling you what the show is mm-hmm. about, but also telling you the ages mm-hmm. so that you know whether you can bring a young child and that child will be able to appreciate the show, or whether it's a more maybe a more sophisticated or advanced show. Mm-hmm. So they make sure that the people who show up are prepared for the level mm-hmm. of the show. They do a wonderful job.
Yeah. It definitely does, because when I've told people about the planetarium and how their shows are free, like, they've automatically was like, what? Are you serious? Yeah. A planetarium is free here at Ball State? So I'm like, yeah, go. It's a great experience. Yeah.
gonna ask Dr. Millis, what is your favorite aspect of working with these shows?
In one sentence.
It's the sense of awe that you can get, and just that immersive experience, and just how it can bring about that sense of wonder that's really hard to replicate in any other situation.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you guys
thank you so much.
That's all we have time for that part of the discussion.
President Mearns, we want to give you the final minute for your reflection on today's conversation.
Well, first of all, I'm grateful to you, Emma and Alana, and to John and Dana for joining me for this conversation. You know, the planetarium, as we've talked about, is a crown jewel of our campus. Mm-hmm. We've talked today about how it affects teaching and learning and research and community engagement, mm-hmm. which are such important parts of our mission. And it is, as I say, a crown jewel, because when I travel the country, I talk about the planetarium because of its impact on the mission and because it elevates the prestigious reputation of our university and the way in which we serve the community. So thank you again.
You're welcome. Well, thank you, President Mearns. I'm Alana Gaither.
And I'm Emma Matlock. Make sure to join us next time for Cardinal Compass, Campus and Community Conversations.
At Ball State University, we welcome you as a learning partner from day one. Our students bring creativity and determination to each aspect of the learning experience, from the classroom to the community. At Ball State, we help students turn an emerging passion into an enduring purpose. Our beautiful campus, welcoming environment, immersive learning, and collaborative culture provide the ideal place for you to pursue your journey to a fulfilling career and a meaningful life. We fly. Are you ready to fly?
Cardinal Compass was produced at Ball State University by students of the College of Communication, Information, and Media at the studios of University Media Services. Cardinal Compass was produced by Max Robson, audio engineering by Connor Mayberry. Special thanks to Sean Ashcraft for production assistance, the Department of Media, University Media Services, Ball State Marketing and Communications, and the Digital Corps.